We've got a good lesson. Several months ago, they found this heel bone with a nail through it. And with this nail going through it, it was buried in a sarcophagus. And they thought, well, that breaks that rule that people who were crucified weren't buried like normal people. But this proved otherwise. So it's just one more nail in the coffin of the scoffers. The name of this lesson today is But He Did. And I was working on this for quite a while, and a pastor called me this morning or yesterday morning and asked me if I'd teach, and I said, okay. I've been wanting to teach this anyway. But anyway, this is a lesson on the crucifixion. And we're going to get into some things that maybe you don't know about the crucifixion. But what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross is phenomenal. And He did it for us. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, it says, but we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 27, if you want to turn there. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He is taken from the prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of the people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Let's pray. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful that today we can say that you paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you saved us from our sins and saved us from hell. Lord, we deserve hell. There's nothing about us that deserves anything good. But you despise all that, Lord. You came to the cross and you suffered and died for me and for the people that have received you. Lord, I pray that your name will be lifted up, that your name will be glorified, and that we'll have a better understanding of what you went through on the cross of Calvary. Help us, Lord. Help me. Let no words proceed out of my mouth except those words that come from you. For I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, my blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. Isaiah is a sermon by itself. Everything that is mentioned in the book of Isaiah happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen, just the way God said. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 1, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. In verse 15 it says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, my tongue cleaved to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into dust of death. For the dogs have compassed me, an assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. But be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. When you look at Zechariah chapter 11, it talks about his betrayal. In chapter 11, verse 12 and 13, it says, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. If not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said, cast them unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was priced at them. And I looked, took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them into the potter in the house of the Lord. Everything, there's over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled when Jesus Christ died on the cross to the letter. And there's over 1,800 prophecies in the Bible that pertain to Jesus Christ and His second coming. So we have an abundance of prophecies to go by. And every word that God speaks will be fulfilled. And it doesn't make any difference what you think or what the world thinks or what some scientist out there believes. It's going to happen. And we're seeing all this stuff happening right now, getting ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. When you look at before the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no real way to God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus says, I unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way is the external. You hear it in your ears and you see it with your eyes, and if you accept it, you accept it as truth. And the truth is internal. That's when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. The life is eternal. That's eternal life that's given to everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Calvary, healing was a physical thing. But after Calvary, healing is spiritual. Not to say that Jesus Christ won't heal you, but when you're healed spiritually, that's the most important thing. That's the eternal part of man. And that is the most important. So salvation is a spiritual. And then when we get to the rapture, that is the replacing this body and being given a body like unto our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says, and that knowing the time, and that now is high time to awake out of sleep. And it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So we're saved. You're just as much saved today as you were the day you got saved. But when you get that eternal body, then your salvation is complete. Yes. And I can't wait. Jesus Christ was betrayed by a friend. His name was Judas Iscariot. But really, he wasn't a friend. But God uses things. God will even use the devil. And the devil doesn't even know he's being used. He used Judas Iscariot. The Bible says that Judas Iscariot, he says, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil, not possessed by the devil, a devil. So there's something strange about Judas Iscariot. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, the pastor used this verse last Wednesday, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. God will make sure that His word is completed, and there's no stopping it. The devil can't stop it. The demons in the hell can't stop it. And you can't stop it. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 3, it says, when Judas had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. And that's when they took the 30 pieces of silver and bought the potter's field. Some people believe, and that's okay, you know, you can believe what you want. But I believe that Judas Iscariot was being used by God unbeknownst to him. And when he saw that Jesus Christ was going to be crucified and that his head was going to be bruised, he repented of what he had done and went back to try to give back the price and to get him off, keep him from being crucified. Because it scared the devil to death. Because he didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross. And you say, well, why didn't he want to? Because it would have been his doom. And it was his doom. His head was bruised. And everything about him was repentant about what happened on the cross. And we're going to look at this because, like I said, the Lord God is in control of everything. Nothing goes by Him that's not approved. And when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God is not going to overlook it. You say, well, no one's ever said anything like that before. Well, I look at things a little different than most people do. In John chapter 6, verse 7, he says, I have chosen you, and one of you is a devil. When the devil that was in Judas saw what was going to happen, he didn't mean to do God's will. He can't help it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In Acts chapter 1:25, it says, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship of which Judas by transgressions fell, that he might go to his own place. And Judas Iscariot is called the son of perdition. The devil that comes on the scene is called the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So there's something strange about Judas Iscariot. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. Pilate has the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's looking at his life. And he says in verse 22, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried the more, saying, let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he couldn't prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of this blood and is just and this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said unto him, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it was. The Jews have suffered for the last 2,000 years. They've been run out of every country. They've been killed by the thousands and the millions over the years, because the blood, they pronounced a curse on themselves by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of Jews out there that have received Jesus Christ. Thank God. That's one thing I weep for, the children of Israel. But Jesus Christ was taken out in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. God allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to go through the cross and die for your sins. And if you reject that sacrifice, God will reject you. When Jesus Christ was scourged, he was scourged with a whip of nine tails. And this whip was equipped with hooks, pottery shards, and glass. And these Roman soldiers were experts with that whip. They could whip the flesh right off of your back. They would do it in such a way that it would tear the flesh right off your back. It would plow inch deep cuts into your back. And they would whip the back of your legs, the bottom of your legs, your arms, the back of your head. Everything was plowed by these whips. And they had, not only that, but they had two men on both sides. And these two men would take turns. And they would dig on one side and then they would dig on the other. And they would plow the back. It was so deep that a lot of times the kidneys had no flesh to hold on to. And the kidneys would dangle out the back. And you say, well, how did he live? Most people died. But the Lord Jesus Christ went to suffer the full wrath of God, and he wasn't going to be deterred in any of it. The Bible says he was marred more than any man. And a lot of times, those whips would come around on the side of the stomach and rip those open, and then the intestines would hang out. And if you want to know why Jesus Christ didn't carry his own cross, it's because he's probably holding his guts in. And he did it all for you. When the whipping was finished, they would take, Pilate took the man out before the people and said, behold the man. He was hoping that they would see the blood and they see the gore and they say, okay, he's had enough. But no, they said, crucify him. The devil didn't want Jesus Christ on the cross. Even though you might think he did, he didn't. Because the devil knew that his time was limited. And that he was going to be defeated on the cross. And what happened on the cross is horrendous. It would make you gag. He was unrecognizable as a human being on the cross. When it says, I'm like a worm, you know, a worm is disgusting. We don't like to look at worms. But that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ looked. And He did it all for you. By His stripes, we are healed. The next part of the crucifixion is Calvary. And in Calvary, of course, He had to carry His cross. And this cross was a lot of times was strapped to your back, but not Jesus. They found a Lebanese man, and they asked him to carry the cross. And by law, in the Roman law, they could pick out anybody in a crowd and tell you to carry something for a mile. And you had to do it by law. So they weren't really picking on anybody. They were just exercising the law of Rome. But Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was being mocked. He was being ridiculed. He was being laughed at. And He was being scorned by the crowds. I don't know about you, but when you're in a crowd that hates you, they like to scorn you. They like to say, your days are numbered. And I would get, you know, I've been in situations before, and I would get mad. I'd want to lash out at people. I want to do something. I want to fight. Amen. And I was a fighter when I was a kid. I had to be. I had a brother that beat me up all the time. And I loved to fight. I loved to box. I liked to. I got into martial arts. I did all that. And I liked to rumble. And of course, my career was in that. You can talk to this young man back here. They would train us to kill. And that's a noble profession in this day and age. But Jesus Christ went to the cross, and before He was crucified, they had to, when he got to the cross, the centurion had never seen anyone like Him. Here, he's probably, his kidneys were dangling out the back, he was holding his gut, and He went to the cross. Now, one thing about the cross that you might not understand, you know, they always have these real pristine crosses in Rome, and it makes Christ look like He's just standing up there on the cross. But there was the real cross in the middle, where your back would be. They had an angled piece of wood that came out like a triangle, and they nailed it to the cross, and it forced your back out. And they didn't have a little platform for your feet to be nailed to, because it wasn't a pretty sight, and they didn't care about your comfort. It was to kill you. It was to hasten death. So when Jesus Christ was crucified, first of all, He laid on the cross. They didn't have to force Him to the cross. He didn't go there screaming and yelling, "Don't kill me." The Bible says He spoke not a word. And He went to the cross willingly because of you and for me. And when He laid on the cross, He put His hands up there. And I believe that those nails were about that long. And a lot of people say, well, they nailed Him here. But I believe it's right there, because that's considered part of the hand. And that is the most painful area of your hand, if it's because all the nerves that go from your arm to your fingers are located right there. If you've ever had carpal tunnel, you know how painful that can be. So they took that nail and they nailed him to the cross, right where all those nerves come together. So it was excruciating pain. His fingers felt like they were exploding out of his hands. His arms, that pain would radiate all the way up his arms into his shoulders. They wanted the maximum amount of pain that they could possibly come up with. And yes, they did tie his hands to the cross, because during the death procedure, and everybody's been around people who have been killed or dying, people tend to start thrashing around and convulsing and going into seizures. And a lot of times, if they didn't tie their hands to the cross, they would pull their hands away from the nails. Now, these nails had a broad head on them, but after so much thrashing around, it's like when you see a cat run over by a car, and that cat will convulse and jump up and down. Well, the human body does the same thing. I've seen it a couple times. It's not a pretty sight. But the crucifixion is not a pretty sight. It's not as pretty as what they try to make it out to be, where Jesus Christ is on the cross and he's just standing there. The second part is the feet. Now, like I said, the feet are planted flat up against the cross. They would go through the second toe and the third toe, and they would go right up about right there where the foot, where the bones are, right at the edge where those bones start. And they would take that 5 to 6 inch nail and they would nail it through there with your feet crossed over one another. And they would go right through there because that's where all those nerves come out. And go to your toes and to your palm of your foot. And when you hit that nail going through there, it's like your toes explode. And then when you do that, you can't sit on the cross, you can't stand on the cross straight. You have to cock yourself from one side to the other. And in order to get a breath, you have to cock yourself, your hip to one side and push on that nail to get a breath. And then after you wore that leg out, you'd have to switch over and cock your hip over to the other side and push up to get a breath. The whole time, your feet are exploding. He did it all for you. At the same time, they're ridiculing, they're calling him names, they're saying, "You healed others, heal yourself, come off that cross." But he didn't. Because of you. And because of me. He did it all for us. The worst part of crucifixion, I believe, for the Lord Jesus Christ is not the pain, but it's the ridicule. The devil is saying, "Look at those people that you're up here for. Come down from the cross." He didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He's come down. They're not worth it. They despise you. Why are you dying for them? But he endured the cross for me and for you. That pain in the legs would radiate, from those nerves would radiate up to his legs. And of course the blood loss, and from switching from side to side with that thing in your back. He didn't stand up against the cross. He had to stand out of the cross. I'd lift my arms up higher, but I've got frozen shoulders, so I can't get my arms up any higher. But anyway, you look at what he did, and hanging there, after a while, he had no strength in his arms because all the blood was gone. And the only strength he had was in his feet, and he could push himself up. And he cried out, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" But on top of that, it went black. Darkness covered the earth for 6 hours. And that's during that 6 hours of that darkness, is because all the sins of all of us were placed upon Him, and that light ceased to shine. You know, when in creation, when God created the world, when Jesus Christ showed up, there was light. When Jesus Christ is pushed away, that's when darkness comes in. We're seeing it in our nation today. Of course, there's a couple thieves hanging on both sides of Him. And one of them was smart enough to say, "Remember me." And Jesus Christ is always thinking about you and me, even on the cross, suffering. He was remembering us. He told the Jews, "Weep not for me, but weep for the children of Israel, your children. Weep for them." He told the thief on the cross, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Christ was always thinking about us. And I get so sick when I see these little Jesuses on TV and on these shows, and they're always so meek and mild. And my Lord wasn't like that. He was a little bit like our preacher, outspoken. Didn't care to tell you what he was thinking at the time. He was not a sissy. Anyone would go through this was no sissy. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you and for me. He had to pay that price. And even though the devil didn't want him up there, he still stayed on the cross for you and for me. Satan tried every trick in the book to get him off that cross. But he didn't come down. We look at the crucifixion. And you know, we look at the darkness, and they recorded it in China. 6 hours of darkness. It was recorded in different parts of the world. No one could explain it. How did it go dark for 6 hours? Where did that darkness come from? And Jesus Christ was up there for 6 hours. All the demons in hell were tormenting him. The devil himself was there, trying to get him off that cross. Didn't want him to go through what he went through with. But he did it for you and for me. Then he cried out, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And then you know, most people die of suffocation because their rib cage is so stretched out, they can't breathe. And the only way they can breathe is push up on those nails. Push up on those nails. Twist and push up on those nails. Twist and push up on those nails. Every drop of blood that Jesus Christ had in Him bled out on the cross. And to finish things off, to make sure every drop was out, they took a spear and they put it through the fifth rib. It went into the right ventricle of the heart, piercing that sac of water that your heart sets in, and puncturing the heart to where every drop of blood came out. So there was nothing left. He was broken and spilled out. Completely. There was nothing left. All that blood, that precious blood, was drained out of our Savior. It was impossible for Him to go through all this agony, and it is not recorded one time in the Bible that Jesus Christ ever passed out. Now, if you've ever been wounded, if you've ever had a broken leg or had a broken arm or went through the windshield of a car, you'll know that you pass out, that you don't remember much pain, because when the pain gets too great, there's something in your brain that shuts everything down and you go blank. I've had that experience several times. I went through a windshield of a car. I've had both lungs collapse on me. I've been through a lot when I was little. I was in a hospital for a month. My head was swelled up bigger than a basketball. They wouldn't give me a mirror. They wouldn't give me anything. My teeth were all knocked loose. I had a broken arm. When I got to the hospital, that nurse, I was holding my arm like this. I was just a little boy. And the nurse says, "Let me have your arm. I want to see." I said, "It's broken." She says, "Oh, it might not be broken." And she picks it up like this, and my arm droops in the middle of my arm here. And I passed out. The only next thing I knew, I woke up, I had a cast on my arm. But that point, it's called a mercy point. Boxers experience it. Wounded soldiers experience it. When the pain gets too great, they go out. And it's not recorded anywhere that Jesus Christ ever passed out. He endured every waking minute on the cross in pure pain. And He did it for you and for me. When I was reviewing this, accounts of crucifixion, I said, "How am I going to sum this up?" And that's how I got the title for this lesson. He did. The centurion said that truly this was the Son of God, and the reason he's seen that because he never saw anyone die like Jesus. No one ever went to the cross and suffered the way he did and uttered not a word. And he was always thinking about, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He did it all for you. When I listed these, I listed seven things, and I said, no one ever took the scourge like he did and lived. No one ever went to the cross without fighting for their life, but he did. No one ever laid on the cross without screaming for mercy, but he did. No one ever suffered from the mocking and the torment and did not try to come off the cross, but he did. No one ever had 6 hours of darkness while he was on the cross, but he did. No one ever went to the cross for someone else, but he did, for you and for me. No one ever laid in the grave for 3 days and rose from the dead, but he did. And he did it all for us. And one day we're going to stand before him and give an account of our works, whether they be good or bad. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with, what did I do with Jesus Christ? Yeah. Behold the man and what he did for us. Thank God. Let's pray. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful that we have you, Lord, and we have your wonderful salvation. We have that blessed hope. We have all those things that are completed on the cross. Lord, I don't have to go to the cross. I don't have to do anything. But I love you, Lord, and I pray that this message did something for somebody. Lord, we need you. We need you more than ever. Lord, help us to look around us and see the condition of the world and to know that you're coming soon for your bride. Lord, help us to be watching, help us to be waiting, and help us to be standing and not wavering. I pray for our pastor. Lord, we love our pastor. And we want to see him healed, Lord. We want him to see him preaching and teaching until you come. We pray for our pastor as he preaches this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you'll give him strength. I pray for his family. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. Blessed be your holy name, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.